Okay, we are studying about dating or Christian fellowshipping. I'm going to review real quick what we covered last week, so I will bring it to your memory. And for those of you who were not here, then you will hear what we covered last week. We covered last week three basic things to remember before you date, as you date. Number one is that God loves you and He wants the best for you. And number two, God is interested in you. He is concerned about you, about everything of you. And number three, God has a person picked out for you. We also covered that before you start a relationship with a guy or with a girl, you must first have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Dating starts with Jesus Christ. Then we said that rather than looking for the perfect girl or the perfect guy, you must first be, or you try to be, that perfect guy, that perfect girl. Rather than finding the right person, you need to be the right person. Then we covered that you must be content where you are right now before you jump into any relationship. And pray for contentment instead of for a mate. We also covered that you should seek the will of God, which is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, love your neighbor as yourself, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then we covered that it's better to let God choose a mate for you than choosing yourself. Like letting your children order their own life. You know that they would go to their own destruction. And finally, we read the beautiful love story of Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis 24. We saw some of Abraham's requirement for his son's wife. One was the same faith. The other one was not a recent convert. And a good attitude. Happy to serve. About attitude, we will cover that in next part. Part 3 or part 4. The attitude, your responsibilities as singles, single parents versus the responsibilities once you're married. So now we will continue tonight with part 2 of choosing a mate. Turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 29. Now, before we go on and continue, we said last week that God has a person picked out for you. And somebody asked and said, what if I do not have any desire to be married? If I do not want a mate, I am not looking for a husband or wife. Even though I said that God has a person picked for you, if He has called you to remain single, He will equip you for the calling. Don't worry about it. He will give you the desires of your heart. So because we said that God has a person picked out for you, does not mean that you have to look and just do what we were covered tonight and don't worry about it. See, if you do not have any desire to get married, maybe God will change your desires. Maybe He will not. Maybe He has a special mission for you that will be easier for you to do single than with a mate. Maybe He has a special job for you. Maybe traveling. It may be ministering to singles, to other singles. Maybe something that be better. Paul said it's a good calling. Paul said if you are not married, seek not a wife or a husband. So it is a good calling. God will prepare you. Don't worry about it. He may have a special mission for you. So just remember Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So if you do not have a desire to get married, don't worry about it. Just delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight not yourself in a boy. Delight not yourself in a girl. Delight not yourself in a relationship or in material things, but delight yourself in the Lord. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? It means to take joy in nothing else but in Jesus Christ. It means that nothing else but Jesus Christ is causing you to worry and think about it all the time. Is it the girl that I'm supposed to? Is it the guy that I'm supposed to? Is it the one, Lord? Is it the one? Is it? I did that myself. And it just is taking you away from the Lord. So it does. It is not, I will delight in Jesus if He gives me a husband. It is not, I will delight in Jesus if He gives me a wife. It is not, I will delight in Jesus if He provides a father for my kid, a mother for my kid. I'm sick and tired of being a single or a single parent. If He give me a relationship, then I will delight in the Lord. That is not it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Not if He get me into a relationship. Not if He gives me this or not if He gives me that. But delight yourself in the Lord. It is very important as single to delight yourself in the Lord. The Lord will not let you down. People will. So delight yourself in the Lord, period. Not with, not if, not no other thing but in the Lord, period. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does this mean? Especially when you're single, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? It means to have the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of every aspect of your life, including the providing for a mate for you, finding a husband for you, finding a wife for you. You seek the kingdom of God. You seek His righteousness. He will give you what you need. All these things shall be added unto you. The mate, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the husband, the wife, the father, the mother of your children, whatever you need. All of these things He will give to you. But you must first seek the kingdom of God. Just like last week, Isaac let his father choose a mate for him. You should do the same. Let your heavenly Father find a mate for you and present that mate to you like he did to Adam 6,000 years ago. So let God provide. It means to live a righteous, pleasing life to the Lord. If you seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, things will be added on to you. How will I find the person God has for me? How will I be able to tell? How will I know? God will show you in His time. His perfect timing. God will not show you too soon. Because what if God would tell you, would show you the person that He has for you, and that person is not ready yet. And you would take a look at this jerk or this yo-yo and say, no way, Jack, I'm not getting married to that guy. My wife was a Christian before me. What if God would I say to her, see this bum there in 1979? This is the guy I got for you. She would have moved even further than Oregon. She would have been scared, discouraged. So God will not do that to you. He will show you in His time, not ahead of time. Because there's two parties involved. It's not only one person. The two shall be one, but it starts with two. So one may be ready now, the other one is not. We covered last week that this person may have problem and special responsibilities that the other one could not cope with it. It may be any hang-ups, it may be anything that he's got to mold this person, got to shape this one, that the two will fit together and they will be one. If one is shaped and ready and the other one is not, the two will never be one. So let God show you in His time when this one is ready and when this one is ready. And the two shall be one. But if one is not, and you push it, and you want to get married, you want that person, and God is still working to make sure that he or she is going to fit with you. And if you push that, you may end up with something that is shaky. Whoops, gonna collapse. So, if God would have told many people that I know, this guy or this girl is going to be your wife or your husband, I'm sure a lot would have been scared. I've seen a lot of guys here and a lot of girls been married, and if they would have known how the guy was a couple of years ago, it would have been scary. So wait on the Lord. The Lord will show you. Now, how will I know I have met the person God has for me? Very simple answer. You will know. You will know if. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you will know. I guarantee you. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you will know. Romans 14:7 says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans 14:7. Now you will know, because your relationship will be righteous, peaceful, and joyful. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, not how good she can cook, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So if your relationship is righteous, peaceful, joyful, you will know that it is of God. you will know that it is not of God if he or she is taking you away from God, away from the church, away from prayer, away from fellowship. This is the sign number one. If any of the two are going away from God, you know the relationship is not of God. Guarantee. God will not put two persons together so they can walk away from Him. He's putting two together that they may be closer to Him, therefore closer to one another. But you will know it is not of God by this first sign. If he or she is taking you away from God, you're no longer seeking the kingdom of God. The relationship is not of God. If you are involved, first of all, if she or he is taking you away from God, you should stop immediately and go back to square number one. Go back to your relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to start at the beginning. I don't care how long you're going to be dating with that guy or with that girl. If you are going away, going astray from God, you got to go back to square one. Pass, go. Don't collect 200. Go in the jail. But anyway, you got to go back to square number one. And get your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then wait again for the relationship that would be righteous, peaceful, and joyful. If you are involved in sexual sins, by sexual sins, I'm not talking about fornication only. I'm talking about all impurity. A lot of people seek this book and they put trips on their mate. They say, there is nothing in this book about masturbation. It's okay. The Bible said no. It is all impurity. There we're not going all the way. It's no. If you are involved in any of those relationships, it is not of God. God did not put two of you together to go against His word. So if you are involved in any of those relationships, even though you're not going all the way, it's impurity, and God says, no, your relationship is not of God. It's not righteous. It's not right. So, if you are involved in that kind of relationship, you stop right now, and you also run fast, and go back to square number one, relationship with Jesus Christ. You will know it is not of God if you are constantly striving, fighting, arguing, upset all the time. There's a couple that comes here to this church. Oh man, I blew them away the other day. She comes with him. They sit in the back. And I'm always in the back. I'm checking the people. And they start slowly. And they get mad. And I watch them. They've been going out for a long time. Then she gets mad. She get up and leave all the time. And one time they came for prayer. I said, praise God. They came together. And I told them exactly this. I said, your relationship is not of God. Huh? I said, your relationship is not of God. Striving, arguing, fighting, upset all the time. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. Righteousness, peace, and joy. There's no peace in that relationship. There's no joy in that relationship. It's not a godly relationship. They're still together. But they're still having a hard time. It's sad, but that's the way. So if your relationship is like this, you know it's not of God, you stop immediately and you go back to square one, relationship with Jesus Christ. God loves sports, but He will not put two together to watch them fight. Hey, go, go. Doesn't work like this. It is not of God. So, the servant of the Lord shall not strive. Another problem in dating that we see very often is patience. They do not have patience. They don't have time for long courtship anymore. One of the characteristics of the love of God, godly love, in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says that love is patient. When you're in love, you want to rush. But why? Nobody can explain why. They want to rush. We have to get married next week, or it's going to be the end of the world. God's love is patient. If your love is not patient, I question your love. And you should read 1 Corinthians 13 and see what is really. So God will not change His mind once He has given you someone. He has shown it to you. You know this is the person that God has given me. So now, it doesn't make sense to rush. If you rush, then you're not sure that mate is of God. You're afraid something's going to happen. Oh, he's going to give her to somebody else. Ooh, somebody's going to steal him from me. If it's of God, no one can touch that bugger. Don't worry. You're stuck with it. No, but really, you should not rush at all. God will not change His mind. If you have the one God asked for you, you can move to the end of the world. He's going to bring the two of you back together. I don't care where you go. So He does not play game. Now, patience is very important and very hard. You can ask me, how long did I date my wife? No, please don't ask me. Less than 6 months. It is too short. But you can ask my wife. We paid the price for it. We hardly knew one another. We had hard times. At times, couple times, we sat around the table and started to say, that's it, Jack, we're going to have to go. We paid the price. We knew it was of God. There was no doubt about it. But it was not God's timing. It was not God's perfect timing. She was in Oregon, I was in California. It's very hard, you know what I mean, to go back and forth. Yeah. Doing great. But I'm saying that the first year was tough. And it is because I hardly knew her, she hardly knew me. We just went into it because we knew for sure it was God. I had no doubt in my mind. She did not have any doubt. We knew it was of God. And we just took that and said, let's go, it is of God. It was of God, but it was not God's timing. So it was harder. She did not want to move from Oregon to California, and then we continued the courtship, the relationship. So we were making trips back and forth. And when she moved to be married. But patience. It is very important that you be patient. Because Satan is a master deceiver. You may be so convinced that that is the one God has for you. So convinced. And yet be wrong. So be careful, because Satan does not want you to have a righteous, peaceful, joyful relationship or marriage. He is destroying more marriages now than ever. Christian marriages, non-Christian marriages, he doesn't touch them. They're screwing up themselves. They don't need no help. But the Christian marriages he is after. And if you in this room are going to be married, he is going to be after you. The two of you shall be one. He's got two to trick, to deceive, rather than just one. If you're single now, he's attacking you. The other one is there, he's attacking the other one. But when you're two in the same room, he's going at it, creating discord. He's having a ball. And if you are not after and solid on Jesus Christ, if your relationship with Jesus Christ is still shaky, you're going to be in trouble. Real trouble. So it's very important. So patience is very important. To give you an idea about patience, we're going to take a look at Genesis 29. Starting with verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and he saw a well in the field, and there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And there were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, where do you come from? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? The word here, is he well, means not only healthy, is he sick, but general welfare, general prosperity, like those Hebrew, is there peace to him, shalom. And they said, He is well. And look, Rachel, his daughter, comes with the sheep. And he said, It is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. It does not mean that they were not strong enough excuse me, to roll the stone, but it was not permitted. It was contrary to custom. It was a common rule to secure a fair distribution of water. But Jacob did not obey this. Jacob did not care. He did whatever he pleased. And he will reap later what he sowed. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, and until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spoke with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep. For she kept them. She was a shepherd girl. And when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. He wants to show off here. She's a good-looking woman. He's an older guy. And their rule is that you wait for all the sheep to be there together. Then you roll the stone, you pour the water, and every sheep of everybody get the same fair amount of water. But this guy, ooh, I'm going to impress her. We always like to impress on first date, you know how it is. But this guy is quick on first date, and don't learn from him. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice, and he wept. Started crying. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him the space of 1 month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because you are my brother, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tendered or light color eyed. The eyes were without brilliancy, without freshness. The rest of the face was covered. They had nothing else to look but the eyes. So her eyes were light colored eyes. But Rachel, her eyes were beautiful and well favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Jacob loved Rachel, and he is willing to serve for 7 years so he can marry her. 7 years. If you meet the one that God has for you, and she says, well, we're going to wait 7 years before we get married. What are you going to say? Are you kidding, Jack? 7 years? The Lord is coming next week. But this is real patience. He is not a youngster. We're not talking about a 22-year-old guy. We're talking a man 70 years old. 77 years old. That's me. But he was patient. To him, that was something to wait 7 years. More than to a 22-year-old guy. Just wait 7 years. Not too bad when you're 20. But when you're in your 70s, to wait 7 years, it takes a lot of patience. You really must love that person. That is the true love of God. Love is patient. So 7 years. And Laban said, it is better than I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. True love of God is patient. If your love has to move fast, there is something wrong with it. You see here that this guy waited and served, was a servant, abased himself. He had enough. He did not have to lower himself. But he served 7 years, and they seemed to him as a few days. 7 years seemed to him as a few days. That's real love. Very important to be patient, to build a proper foundation, so the whole thing will not collapse the first time it is shaken. Jesus Christ said, the foolish one built on sand, the wise one built on the rock. If you are building your relationship on the rock, on Jesus Christ, if you build your marriage on the rock, on Jesus Christ, it will not collapse the first time it is shaken. The first time Satan walk in there and give you a hard time, it will not collapse. So, you cannot move in the house until it is built. So you make sure you build that relationship, you build that marriage. And in Psalm 127 verse 1 it says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So if the Lord is not building your relationship, you are dating in vain. You will get nothing out of it but frustration, disappointment, discouragement, depression, you name it. Unless the Lord build the house, unless He builds your relationship, unless He builds your marriage, you are laboring in vain for nothing. Psalm 127:1. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her, that I may sleep with her. We see that he spent 7 years around that lady that he loved, really loved. He is living on the same piece of land. He sees her just about every day. He really loved that woman. And yet now at the end of the 7 years, after he spent 7 years around her, loving her, yet he did not sleep with her. Because he says here, now that my days are fulfilled, give me my wife that I may go and sleep with her. That is something to learn. You may date for 7 years, but very few people do I know that they date for a long period of time that Satan has not tricked into the bedroom or the backseat of the car. Learn from this guy. 7 years he saw that woman every day. And yet, he was able, with the help of God, he is building his relationship on the rock, on Jesus Christ. He is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He delights himself in the Lord, not in his flesh, not his little desires, pleasures. So, learn from this man. For 7 years, he was dating. And yet, now that my days are finished, now that I am her husband, give me my wife that I may sleep with her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Normally it's a week. And in the evening he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Now it is time for Jacob to reap what he has sown. He's been sowing what he pleased. He's been cheating, deceiving his own brother. Now he is reaping. You will reap what you sow. His uncle is pulling a trick on Jacob like Jacob did on his twin brother. We said earlier, there were rules for the well. Jacob ignored the rules. Good looking girl, she's coming, I'm going to show off. I don't care what the rules are. The people explained to him, we wait for everybody to be here with their sheep. Then we pull the stone. Then we water. And every sheep is getting water. And it's fair. Jacob could care less what is fair. He's doing what he wants to. Ever since he was a kid. So now, he is trying to marry the one he wants, the young one, before the old one. The custom, the rule, is the old one gets married first. So Jacob saw that woman, and now he is being tricked by his uncle. So it was very easy to deceive in those days because of the veil on their face, because it was evening, pitch black, in the tent. So the uncle sent Leah. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid for a handmaid. And in the morning, it was Leah. What a shocker. And he said to Laban, what is this that you have done unto me? Did not I serve you for Rachel 7 years? Why then have you tricked me? And Eban said, it must not be so done in our country. This is our custom. To give the younger before the firstborn. We cannot do that. The firstborn gotta go first, then the younger one. So he said, fulfill her week, and we will give you this also for the service which you shall serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife. Imagine, he has, after waiting 7 years, he has to work another 7 years for that wife. So if he did not really love her, he would not just forget the whole thing. But a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. We read in Psalm 37:5, if you commit your way unto the Lord, he will bring it to pass. It is hard for an old guy to face another 7 years of service for this wife that he really loved. But God will bring it to pass. True love makes easy any task of labor or endurance. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. You see, this guy, Jacob, was his mother's favorite child. The other one, Esau, was his father's favorite child. Favoritism, it is not right. If you have children, and if you like one more than the other, it is very dangerous. We see this guy, Jacob, grew in a house where the father liked one and the mother loved like the other one. He saw that. The mother would say, go and trick your old man. He's almost blind. Go and put some hair on you. So he saw that. Now he is living. He is an old man. He grew up in a house like this. The same thing is happening to him. He loves a wife more than the other. It is very important how you raise your children at home. The children that you have now, the children that you will have later, that you will not favor one more than the other. Because you will grow with that. And then, you don't realize the responsibility that you have. We'll cover that in the next part with the responsibilities. But to be a parent, the soul that is placed in your home, the soul that you are in charge of training and bringing to God, that you will have to answer for. This is the child first church. Your home. This is that soul first Sunday school. First school. So it is very important. So we see that this guy here has tricked his father. He has tricked his brother. And now he is being tricked. So he is reaping what he has sown. But the point that we wanted to make in this story is patience. True love of God is patient. And it is one characteristic of true love that you should learn and make sure it is there. When you are dating someone and it is not happening the way you want, you would plan a wedding in 6 months. You would like to be married within a year, 3 months. Or we have to because of this and that. Out of college, and she be out of school, and the job starting there, and then the income is, and all that. You plan it. Make sure it is God's will, and you are not putting the two together. Because only God knows if the two pieces are going to fit. Only God knows if the other partner will be able to cope with your responsibilities. We all have responsibility. So, in closing, your ambition and your heart's desire should be first to please the Lord in your dating life. Now ask yourself, do I really want Jesus to be pleased with my dating relationship? Because He is there with you. He said, when two or three are gathered together, there I am. When the two of you are there together, maybe pitch black, Jesus Christ is there. He said, there I am. So do I really want Jesus to be pleased with my dating relationship? Because He is going on every single date that you're going. Do I want Him to be pleased with my motive for dating? Why am I dating? Well, it's a boring life to be single, to be alone. I'm going to grab anyone who's going to say, you want to go to a movie, you want to go out, you want to go to a ball game. Yes, I'm going to go. And it's make sure the motive is right, because God knows your thought. We covered that last week. Before you even think that. So do I want Him to be pleased with my motive for dating? Do I want Him to be pleased with my actions on dates? Well, we don't pray before we go because it's kind of shy. I don't know her too much, or I don't know him too much, and I don't want to offend her. I don't want to offend him by saying, well, let's pray before we leave on the date, before we go somewhere. I compromise. We go in a restaurant and I don't want to say, man, we should pray before. It's so many people. This is not right. Do I want him to be pleased with my actions on dates? The main thing is that you remember. If you forget all of those things, just remember that He is going with you on each and every date that you have. Do I want Him to be pleased with my action? Do I want Him to be pleased with my choice of dates? Oh, He's not a Christian yet, but I'm working on it. You watch. That bugger is going to be a Christian before long. God said no. He's a Christian, not a new convert. He is walking with God. He is in the same faith as you are. You can go. But don't go and date Joe Blow across the street because he's got a brand new Corvette. Oh man, I gotta try that. That's your motive. That's your choice of date. Abraham did not want to compromise. He said, for my son, I want his wife to be of the same faith. I want them to be from my people. I know my people are God's people. I want my son's wife to be a godly wife. Not a new convert. Then I want somebody who moved where he was from where they were. No, I want you to go there. So you make sure that you don't see a nice guy coming to church with his big Bible and full of notes, all the signs all everywhere on the and signs on his car, and say, he's a Christian. Praise God, I've been waiting for this guy for 5 years. Now I can date him. Let's go, Joe. Doesn't work like this. You make sure it is not a new convert. We're talking about dating relationship. You can fellowship with them in a group. You can go places. But dating, the two, the choice of date, you must please Jesus Christ. You make sure that He is pleased with your action, with your motive, with your choice of date. And it's going to be easier for you. Because I keep on saying all the time, contentment is common sense. Who are we to fight with God, the creator of everything that exists. How can we go in his face and say, I don't like this. I don't like this girl. I don't like this job. I don't like this car. I don't like this job. Would you rather have no job, no car, no house? God said to Job, where were you when I made everything? 250 billion galaxies, each one with 100 billion stars. Multiply the two together, that will tell you how many stars that God knows by name, one by one. If you take the people who lived ever since the beginning, since Adam and Eve, everyone that lived to today, it's not even 20 billion. Is it hard for him to remember them all by name? If he can remember zillions of star name, one by one, he can name them. He sees them. They're all moving real fast. Millions of miles per hour, some of them. Some one star, Alpha Centauri, is millions of times bigger than our Earth. And that bugger is going so fast in the universe. And it's not colliding with nothing. Somebody's in control of it. The same one that is in control with your life. That he can see you and her or him at the same time from the day that you were born till the day that you both of you gonna die or go to be with the Lord. He sees everything. He's in control. Is he gonna make a mistake? Is he gonna give you the wrong one? If he is not making mistake with the way that the galaxies and all those parts are moving right now, is he gonna make a mistake with you? I guarantee you, he will not. You let him make the choice. Let him show you. You just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for this time, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you just bless each and every one here. Pour your spirit upon them. Guide them, Father, that they may not be deceived by Satan into going in the wrong relationship, wrong motive, wrong choice of dates. That they may realize, Father, that you are there with them on each and every date. You see everything. You see their minds, their hearts, their thoughts. You know why they're thinking it. Even before they think it, you see it. And Father, just be with them, Lord. Help them to see that person clearly, that they may be able to seek your kingdom first and his righteousness. And then everything shall be added unto them, Lord. So we just ask that you go with them this week. Speak to them. Just bless them abundantly. Just don't allow Satan to rob them, to trick them, to deceive them. And don't allow them to get into the wrong relationship, wrong marriage. Just minister to them this week, Father. Guide them. And we thank you so much for your love and your patience. So bless us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.